Hey, Basketball Nation, got another podcast on Court Onslaught coming to you. Brett Roberts and my co-host Brandon LaChance. We're going to talk about some of the first round series. Haven't came at you in a while, and then we're going to move on into the second round. I got some other news to talk about. We got the Stan Van Gundy / Otis Smith firing. But, you know, moving back through those first round series, we expected Utah to get swept. They did. Brandon and I bet that Oklahoma City would... that Dallas would win one game. He bet that they'd win two. Dallas didn't win any games. They were swept. Denver and Lakers, we were treated to a seven-game series. Very exciting. Got to see Ty Lawson emerge a little bit. I think he's got a bright future in the league. And then the Clippers and Memphis was another great seven-game series. Moving out east, we had the Bulls losing to the Sixers in six games, and the Heat taking down the Knicks in five. And then the Magic and Pacers, we were surprised to even see the Magic get one game. They did get that one game in game one and then lost four straight. And then we had the six-game series between Atlanta and Boston, which Boston advanced. Again, that surprised neither of us, nor our guest Rich that episode, who also predicted Boston to pretty much roll through Atlanta, and they did. But now Boston is facing the Sixers, to many people's surprise, because we expected the Bulls and Derrick Rose before he got injured to get back. What have you thought about that Philly-Boston series?
First of all, as a Chicago fan, I am extremely mad because that should be Chicago, not Philly. But injuries happen, professional sports. It sucks, but it's real. It happens. Boston-Philly has been actually really interesting. I thought going into the conference semifinals that this would be the worst series. But actually, it hasn't been. I mean, San Antonio Clippers was worse to me because Chris Paul and the Clippers did not show up. And Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, and company are who I thought they were. But Boston and Philly is really, really exciting. Two defenses that are pretty good, probably the top, you know, top tier of the NBA defensively. Kevin Garnett is playing out of this world, which I love to see. I've always been a big KG fan. I hate the Celtics, but I'm a KG fan. And Andre Iguodala, I've always been a strong supporter of his. I always thought he was a good player. He's Mr. Versatility, and he's still doing it with Philly. It's been a great series. I don't know what else to say.
It has been. You know, I always keyed in, or in my series preview, I thought that the key to this series would be Rondo versus Holiday. Rondo has not taken over the way I thought he would. He had that triple-double in Game 1. He hasn't done much since then. I think he scored 15 last game, if I recall right, which is about standard for Rondo, but he needs to have another explosive game for Boston to get over the hump and win the series.
Right, and you mentioned Holiday. Holiday, to me, is becoming the top tier of the second tier, if you understand what that means.
Right.
The first tier, you got Chris Paul, Derrick Rose, you know, Rondo, Russell Westbrook, and then there's the second tier, and Holiday's right there pushing the boundaries, know, to be in that top tier. He is playing out of his world in both series. He's become a three-point threat. He's distributing to Elton Brand, all the big guys. Other than Leroy Allen, is that his name?
Yeah, LaVoy Allen, I think.
He has stepped up. Like, I didn't even know who he was. Like, I heard the name. I had never even seen him play. And then he steps up this series and is hitting, you know, 18, 20-foot jumpers, keeping the team in it, getting rebounds. So they're coming full at you. Philadelphia is no joke.
You think Holiday will make an all-star team or two before his career is over?
I do. I'm going to say he's going to be an all-star. It's going to be a while. I'm not saying, like, next year or the year after. But he will by the time his career is over.
I think he'll make it at least once.
Barring any serious injuries or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess LeBron James is pretty much solidified himself as the best player in the NBA, sad as much as I hate to say it.
Yeah, he is. I've been saying that he was MVP pretty much all year. I tried to make debate for, you know, Kobe Bryant when he was hot, and Kevin Durant, of course, is probably one of he's probably the best scorer, but he's not the best all-around player, and James has just come out and showed why he is an MVP.
Yeah, he's slowly winning me over, but, I'd still be quite happy to see him never win a ring.
I would say that, but I think it's inevitable. So I'm not gonna sit here and argue the system, because I think it's fair to say that he's gonna get at least one.
Who wins game five between Indiana and Miami?
I would really like to see Indiana take it seven games. I think Miami's still going to take it past them because, I mean, you got Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. That's the best duo in the NBA, and the problem is that they have to put up like 65, 70 points for the Miami Heat to win, but I think they can. That's the problem for Indiana. So I want Indiana to win this game, and then I think Miami takes the next two after that.
That'd be ideal, but expected, I guess. Indiana's going to have to win on the road in Game 5. That won't be easy. They did win Game 2 on the road, 78-75. So maybe the key might again be keeping the scoring really low when they're on the road.
Right. I agree.
You think OKC closes out the Lakers tonight?
Yeah. I wanted the Lakers to at least make this competitive. And they have it. And it's almost the same thing as Miami was last year, except they had more talent in their big three. But Paul Gasol, Andrew Bynum, and Kobe Bryant are pretty much doing everything for the team. If they're not doing something, the team is failing. And they just can't put it together. I don't know if they just played too long together and haven't built the experience relationship that, you know, the super duper stars do, but
I think their problem
when they need to gel and, you know, beat the Thunder, and they just can't do it.
I think their problem is pretty simple. Somebody said it on Facebook. I don't know who it was. It wasn't a lot about basketball, but somebody had said, "What do you expect when a team loses one of the greatest coaches ever and their and one of the best six men in the league?"
Right. I mean, you lose two big, big key components. So, you know, two world championships or NBA championships. Yeah, gonna not work out. We're seeing the final product.
You think Odom is ever gonna return to any level of decency?
I think he will. I think this break will hopefully get his head together because he's a great player. He's versatile. Excuse my language, but as hell, he's one of the most versatile players in the league. And
of all time, maybe.
What's that?
One of the most versatile players of all time, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. I'd put him in the top five of all time, no doubt. Yeah. So he's got to just sit back, get his head together, and be like, all right, man, this is what I do for a living. Do it while I can. So he's just got to get back in the league and do his thing.
I mean, yeah, he has to have some left in the tank. I mean, players fall off fast sometimes, but I don't see that it's falling off for him. It's all mental.
Yeah, it's not physical at all. It's just all mental. It's all in his head.
I guess moving out of L.A. messed his head up pretty bad.
Definitely. Well, maybe not being on national TV with the Chloe and Lamar show, because that got canceled. Maybe that will just open his eyes like, hey, I'm in basketball, not Hollywood.
And then we touched briefly on San Antonio and the Clippers. Do you think San Antonio wins the championship this year?
Yeah, I predicted it early in the first round, like game two. I was at a bar, and one of my old friends, old colleagues from my factory days, asked me, like, you think Miami takes it? And I was like, honestly, they might get to the finals, but I'm going San Antonio. He's like, Spurs? I'm like, man, they got the whole complete package. They got big men, they got experience, they got young men, they got good guards. They have the guys that do the intangibles, they got the highlight players. They have the full package of an NBA championship team, and they're proving it.
They might never have to rebuild with the young talent they have now. With Leonard, I mean, Tony Parker's only 30. Tiago Splitter, DeJuan Blair, Gary Neal. I mean, they might never have to rebuild.
Right. I like Danny Green a lot. I am becoming a big, big fan of Danny Green's game.
Is he a rookie or a second-year player?
I think he's a second-year player.
I think so.
I'll have to double-check.
But I think he just didn't play much his rookie year.
Right.
Well, moving away from the playoffs briefly, what do you think of this Stan Van Gundy and Otis Smith firing?
Unfortunately, I thought it was going to happen. I knew that Otis was gone. I didn't know if Stan Van Gundy was going to be, but after the Carmelo Anthony thing in New York, it seems to be, well, I mean, there's been other things too, but it seems when the star player of a franchise is having issues or doesn't know if he wants to stay or go or whatever, then the coach becomes expendable, which is bad. I don't think that's good at all, but I think this is what's happening there, especially, you know, a couple months ago, it was in the news that Dwight said he wanted Stan fired, and guess what happened?
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I think Van Gundy is still one of the better coaches in the league. I wonder where he's going to end up now. I got to figure he gets picked up before next year by somebody.
Maybe Jordan's going to sign him with the Charlotte Bobcats.
Oh, God, I would feel terrible for him if that happened after winning 50-plus games with the Magic 4 years straight, then to go on to that.
Dude, you'll have Tyrus Thomas, the best player in the league.
Tyrus Thomas could have been something, too.
I know, when he was with the Bulls, I was a huge fan his first year, and then he got an attitude. Well, I guess he always had the attitude, but he let the attitude show, and he just he hasn't panned out at all.
No, and, yeah, like, I used just Stromile Swift part two, the other LSU player that never panned out.
If you were in the playgrounds right now and they were the last two left to get on your team, who would you go with first?
I guess I'd go Tyrus Thomas just because he's younger and a little more athletic still. It would definitely be like the last two people on the playground to get picked.
I would go Thomas just because he blocked shots out of the world, but I think Stromile did too.
Who would have thought that out of all the LSU players, Glenn Big Baby Davis would have turned out to be the best one in recent years?
I know, it's bad that we're laughing about it, but it's really true. He did become the best one.
Since Shaq.
Yeah, that's bad. Big Baby.
I always call him Glenn, don't call me Big Baby Davis in my articles every single time. But he played a hell of a series against Indiana. I don't know where it came from.
That's funny.
I wish they didn't have to go to him at the end of that game. I guess it was game five when they lost by two. It was in an overtime, I think. Yeah, and it was an overtime, and they took that shot. I mean, like, it wasn't a bad shot, but they couldn't get any of their three-point shooters open. Indiana was all over it, so they had to go to Davis. He wasn't even in before they called the timeout and changed the play.
Right. They did have good defense, though. I mean, they shut out all the shooters and gave it to Davis. They knew what they were doing.
He got a decent look. It was just a little short. And just like the shot, the Magic fell a little short. But there's next year, and no Stan Van Gundy, so I don't know what we're going to get. They've been talking about them hiring D'Antoni. Hope to God that doesn't happen.
Right. I never really liked D'Antoni. I mean, his offensive system, if you have the right players, works. But you got to have a system where you can plug people into, like the Spurs and Popovich. He has a system where you can take not just any player, but a more broad, general type of player and put it in a position. D'Antoni, you have to have Steve Nash. You have to have Amari Stoudemire, like Phoenix Sundays. You have to have players that do that niche job. I think his system is never going to be championship material.
No, I don't think so either, because he doesn't put any defensive effort forth for the players, but he has a good way of maximizing talent. I mean, look what he did with Boris Diaw and what Boris Diaw became afterwards. So, I mean, he could take a player like Earl Clark, for instance, and turn him into something, but I don't think that's a good enough reason to hire him as a coach.
In his defense, Boris Diaw has been playing pretty decent in the playoffs coming off the bench from the first.
Right. Still needs to lose weight.
Oh, always, but he's doing what he can, I guess.
Yeah.
He's doing more than Tyrus Thomas.
Yeah, he's doing more than Tyrus Thomas. Tyrus Thomas is sitting at home right now. The rest of the Bobcat players hoping they get Anthony Davis.
Right. We were talking about Stromile Swift. He wasn't in the league very long, was he? Maybe like 3-4 years?
No, he was in the league longer than that. Because he played with, what's it called?
Rockets.
Oh, he played with the Rockets eventually, but before that he played with Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
And he played like 3 or 4 seasons with Memphis and then like 3 with the Rockets, and then he bounced around a few teams. I think he played maybe 8 years. I'd have to look. Well, I mean, you continue to talk about him, and I'm going to check out how long he played.
Yeah, I guess it was just because I only heard about him for a couple of years.
Right.
You know, he was a dunker. That's all he could really do was dunk. So you see him on SportsCenter. That only lasted for a couple of seasons, and then I knew he was on the Rockets still, but
he played before Memphis was Memphis. He played a season with them when they were Vancouver. And then he spent 4 years when they were Memphis. Then he went to Houston, then back to Memphis for 2 more years, and then New Jersey, like I said, and Phoenix. He played 8 years, ages 21 to 29. And I think he was the 4th overall pick. He was the 2nd overall pick. Oh, wow, what a bust.
Yeah, it's bad for a second pick, but, I mean, if he was like a late first round or a top second round. An 8-year career isn't that bad, but for a second?
Yeah, he should have had a career.
Yeah, that's not hot at all.
He did better than Hashim Thabeet did, though.
Oh, God. And unfortunately, I always bring him up as Greg Oden.
Yeah, I thought Thabeet was going to be something, too.
I thought so, too. I honestly did, because his defense was amazing.
I was asking people before the draft, I'm like, is he the next Mutombo? And nobody said he was, but I sure thought, based on the way he blocked shots at UConn, that he could have been a huge defensive presence in the NBA, and instead he's a huge defensive presence in the D-League.
Right. Well, in his defense, because I'm just defending everybody right now, he's still getting paid to play basketball.
Yeah, he is. About $40,000 a year, probably.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many guys, it seems like, that just toil away in the D-League and are never going to make the NBA. Like the guy Blake Ahern, he puts up like 28 a game every year and nobody never gets called up.
Right.
There's a couple others, too. There's the other guy, Will Bynum. He was up with the Pistons for a while, but I'm pretty sure he went back to the D-League and he's down there dominating again.
I remember when they released or didn't re-sign Allen Iverson, and they're like, oh, we got Bynum and Ronald, what's his name?
Dupree.
Yeah, they got Ronald Dupree and Will Bynum. They'll be okay without Iverson.
Yeah, right.
Saw that happen. Just real quick, I want to go back to the playoffs. I mean, Boston, Philly, and Miami, Indy are 2-2. What do you think is going to be the overall Eastern Finals matchup?
I'm going to go with Boston and Miami.
I figured that's what you'd say. I mean, if you looked on paper, that would be the matchup. I don't want to do it, though. I don't want to do it. I'm going to sound real crazy right now, but I'm going to go Indiana and Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I think Indiana's got a team. They have a full team that can do a little bit of everything, where Miami's got two players since Chris Bosh isn't there right now that have to score. They literally have to score 65 to 70 points a game for the team to win.
They do. Saw a funny picture. It said, LeBron and Wade combined for 70 points, and Kobe's sitting on the bench with Luke Walton and street clothing. He goes, we combined for 81.
That's funny. I was looking up the stat the other day, or it wasn't the other day. Actually, I think I talked to you about this probably like a month or two ago. And, Wilt Chamberlain had the 100-point game. There isn't two players on the same team in a game that scored 100 points together. Even with Kobe Bryant having that 81 points, nobody else had 90.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Probably will never happen. Maybe that'll happen. Two players scoring 100, but the 100-point game won't happen. Kobe had the best shot we've ever seen. I just don't think there's going to be another scorer as good as Kobe for a while.
Oh, for quite a while.
I keep telling people, like, the next Jordan, there's probably not going to be anything we're going to want to compare to Jordan after Kobe for quite some time.
Right.
I mean, even if there is, the player's going to have to build his legacy up and win 5 championships and multiple MVPs and make all-star team every year for 10 years straight and so on.
Yeah. I feel talent-wise, Carmelo Anthony could do it. The problem is his head isn't in it, and he just won't do it.
No, I don't know. I've never been all that high on Melo.
He's an elite offensive talent. He just doesn't have the mind or the mental...
His rookie year, I thought he might end up being as good as LeBron, but it was never really the kind of thing. LeBron just kept getting better, and Melo stayed the same.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Melo's just kind of evened out. Like, he's good, he's an all-star, but he's not that super-duper star that...
Right. Well, that's going to wrap it up here for us at Encore Onslaught. We're going to try to come at you again pretty soon, wrap up the second-round series and talk about the conference finals, because that is a must. But this was a little bit on the short side for you today, just 20 minutes of power-packed action. So we're signing off. See you guys later.
Peace.